We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get insight into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. The Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Have a question or comment? Call or text us at 304-314-4161 or email us at wvumsn@gmail.com. Now let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
All right. Oh, we're not Matthew McConaughey here. It is the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. It is episode number 2, 21-22. Scholastic year here on MSN Radio. And we are the final week before it becomes game week. And with the Wolfman, and we've got Rick Neuheisel coming up here in just a moment. Boy, was he good. John Antonik stopping by with Zach Frazier one-on-one. We're going to talk a lot about the just unbelievable potential that we've got really centering the West Virginia offensive line coming up here on the podcast. Wolfie?
Yeah.
Turning that page, really starting to get real now here, turning into preparations for the Terps as we are just one Saturday from next going to College Park, my man.
Yeah, but this is for all the older people out there. Right now I feel like I'm Bob Seger. Turn the page, brother. I am ready for this season. I am ready to go, my friend. And I can't tell you how great I think it is. You know, barring everything that's going on in this world right now, we have college football. Looks like it's ready to go. Not a shortened season, hopefully. All things looking at the full capacity with the fans. Getting that feeling back again about normalcy.
Yeah.
I don't know what the new normal is, but the normal for me is fired up about our Mountaineers.
Yeah, the restrictions are just not so ever present, and the obstacles that you have to work around just to do the simple things aren't there nearly as much as they've been in the past. And boy, what that does is it's like taking weight off the bar. All of a sudden, those reps just become a little bit easier as we get ready for what's an important year, and a year that, you know, I think that can be much better than folks anticipate. You know, there's a lot of folks that'll say, well, you look at those, you know, preseason, you know, rankings and selections as to where West Virginia is going to finish in the Big 12. And you talk to a lot of folks and they go, well, that's about right. We had Phil Steele on last week. He thinks that West Virginia could be potentially a 9-win team. Coming up, we chat with Rick Neuheisel. Wolf, you had an opportunity to eavesdrop on that interview. I know Phil was bullish on the Mountaineers last week, but Rick even more so. Boy, was he really, really good. He's dialed in to what Neil Brown's got going on, and he's not going out on a limb, but he's truly convicted in what's going on with this team, not only at the head coach position, but at some really important skill positions, a quarterback and running back, and even up front with the offensive line. Can't wait for everybody to hear what Rick Neuheisel has to say.
It's all good stuff, and I have to say that 98% of it, I totally agree. I've been saying that about Neil Brown and staff for the last couple of years, Danny, what I see. It's hard for fans on the outside to actually see inside without just knowing what the wins and losses numbers are, and that's how you judge. But what has actually been going on and transforming in a time when Neil Brown, we'll just go ahead and talk about it, they were going through the Climbing Higher campaign, Danny. 65% of his staff were in trailers last year.
Yeah.
During COVID, during the transfer portal. Think about that. This is only Neil's third year going in. So a couple of those kids were Dana Holgorsen kids.
Yeah.
Okay, and not used to what Neil wants. Neil wants a program. You're going to work. Now he's recruiting. What have we seen in the recruiting? Last signing class was one of the best on paper ever recorded for WVU. That's not even including what the commitment list is right here.
And that's funny because, and I'm glad you brought that up, because if there ever were a time for chaos to reign, like all of the variables and the circumstances, you mentioned working in trailers, you've got the transfer portal, you've got a worldwide pandemic, like there's so many things that are going against you, and it wouldn't at all be a shock if things just went absolutely haywire, whether right. You have a mass exodus, you know, the lack of, you know, facilities at the time, you know, could have really worn down on you, all exacerbated by everything COVID related. It remained, now that you think about it and you say it, Wolf, and that I speak it out loud, it remained pretty daggum normal. If you think about it, there was very little change in the way of all of the things that could have changed,
yeah.
All of the things that could have been upended early on in a coach's tenure. But yet here we are, again, kind of when you think about it, oh, well, normal.
It's all about the head dude.
Got to hold the wheel.
The wheel, right?
10-2.
Keeping the ship straight. Yeah,
got it at 10-2.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what he's done. Now, granted, he might get gray hairs earlier than normal for these past couple of years, but there's no doubt that he has held this program. And let's just give credit to Shane Lyons, Kelly Zinn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Danny, they got to get credit too, because they were a huge part in the athletic department going down for all the coaches for all of the Mountaineer sports. So, again, this was a huge team effort. And we're talking specifically about football. So I'm going to say this about Neil Brown. Mountaineer Nation, get fired up and jacked, because Neil Brown is the real deal.
Speaking of gray hairs, what happened to yours?
Oh, well.
they're gone all of a sudden.
Well, no, they keep coming back and forth.
So how do you deal with them?
Well, I'll tell you, man, you just got to get that brown gooey stuff and rub it in your hair, man. You know what I'm talking about?
All right, I see. Well, there's a way for you to get it, and to get it faster. Actually, it's a new app, and it's called GoPuff. What it does is, and Wolf, as your gray that disappears, that you manage quite eloquently, college goes by fast, as we know, but GoPuff can actually deliver anything to you faster than you would want. GoPuff will deliver anything that you need in 30 minutes or less. Snacks, drinks, any other game day essentials, burgers and buns, party cups, everyday needs like, you know, your gray hair disappearing goop that you use there on the beard, like, you know, laundry stuff, school supplies, electronics, and a whole lot more. Check out GoPuff. It was made for college students by college students, so they know what you need when you need it. So I know a lot of folks may think that Wolf, that you've never left college. So GoPuff is the app that you need to get, and you can actually use the code VARSITY, a level that I never played at, even at high school, and check it out. $10 off your first two orders. So use the code VARSITY with GoPuff. Are you going to download GoPuff? You can get anything that you want in a half
an hour's time. It's amazing what I do for you, Daddy. It is amazing the heat I take for you. But I will tell you this. People have asked, hey, Wolf, how come 8 years ago you had gray hair?
I went to GoPuff.
It's a secret, baby.
In 30 minutes, I used it. All right. Well, thanks to GoPuff for jumping on board as a patron of the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. So let's get out of the way for Rick Neuheisel, the coach. You can hear him on Sirius XM Radio, ESPNU. Of course, he's doing a lot of stuff on television for CBS and bullish on the Mountaineers. Here's the coach. Well, Coach Neuheisel, thank you so much for making time for us here on the Mountaineer Insider. I know everybody's eager to hear your thoughts and your candor, which you offer so much on your radio program and, of course, on your TV work. So we're honored to have you on the podcast here. I want to get a just quick assessment from you, 60,000-foot view of what you think of Neil Brown's WVU football program going into 2021 and what he's been able to do in his 2 years so far.
Well, I'm a big fan of Neil. Let's start there. I met him, I think it was in Charlotte for a coaches convention, and thought that he was as advertised. You know, obviously when you hear about these upstart youngsters getting ready to take big jobs, you kind of are curious to see what makes him tick. So hanging out with Neil and seeing how bright he was and obviously how many friends he had, it was fun. It was fun to see here's another bright light in the world of coaching, and I think West Virginia is going to be very excited, not only during the Neil Brown era, but as they look back on what I think will be a sterling career there in Morgantown. You know, you go back and you look at what he did at Troy. You see that victory over LSU, and you see that when you do that, you have created a team atmosphere, a culture, if you will, that believes. And I think that's exactly what he did when he got to Morgantown. Replacing Dana Holgorsen is not easy because Dana is going to have his own way of doing things and so forth. And the thing that all new head coaches have to resist is that feeling like you're always behind. Because feeling like you're behind and you know, trying to catch up makes you make decisions probably in a too hasty way. And I think he's resisted that. I think he's kind of built a team that he, you know, looks at and calls his own. And I think you're going to start to see the spoils of that coming up. Guys like Daigie and Letty Brown are key components. But even across the board, an offensive line and a defensive line that looks the part, I think is big news for Mountaineer fans.
Yeah, no doubt. We can get into maybe some nuance there with personnel a little bit later on. But Rick Neuheisel joining us right now. You mentioned the fear of maybe trying to play catch up, or if you feel like you're behind as a head coach when you come into a new situation. Is that, especially in the year 2021, not only for Neil Brown, but for any head coach that is in a similar situation that Neil is in, is it super important this year to make sure that you keep in perspective everything coming off a COVID year? Because I would think everything that you just mentioned, where you feel like, I don't know if the walls are caving in on you or you have to catch up, that is only going to get exacerbated coming off a pandemic season.
Well, yeah, there were so many things that were so wildly different from anything that any of us can remember in this industry a year ago, to do things without spring ball, to do things without summer workouts, to do things while offense and defenses are in separate rooms, even positions are in separate rooms, and social distancing. You can't eat meals together, which is such a, you know, important component of, you know, team building, because you're just hanging out with your teammates. You can't do that. I mean, all of that had to take a back seat last year just in the effort to get a game put forth. So for them to, you know, have the success that they did, 6-4 on the season, I think is a testament that people are buying in to what Neil's preaching.
Rick, in a vacuum, and I'm not speaking specifically to West Virginia or Neil, but in a vacuum, in the programs that you've been at the helm of, what is year three supposed to mean? How important is it? Where do you want your program to be at in year number three?
You know, I don't buy into all that year one, year two, year three. I think because it's leaning on a past that's so wildly different than from what we're doing now. I mean, the changes that college football has undergone just in the last month, let alone the last year, are unbelievably significant. So that notion that year three is supposed to yield this as compared to year two and year four is looking back at a deal where no one transferred, or at least, you know, knew that if they left, they were going to, you know, have to suffer the consequences of sitting out a season. Tyke Smith is in Georgia. Neil Brown had nothing to do with that. His defensive back coach went to Georgia and Tyke followed. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you just have no control over anymore. And so you're constantly in a battle of recruiting those that are already on your roster, as well as trying to recruit kids that have, you know, you're trying to lure into the program for future teams. It's wildly different. So I just think that every year is its own animal. And I think as you build, you're thinking about the leadership in the locker room. It's one thing to be a coach-led team. It's wildly different to be a player-led team. And you're trying to recruit and get the kind of people that can lead in that locker room without a coach being anywhere close, or anybody with a whistle being anywhere close. That's when you have special teams. And I don't think it's any year that produces that. It's just the people that produce that.
Yeah, as you mentioned, especially nowadays. And Neil did mention as much that, you know, this is essentially a year-to-year game as we currently sit here today, as you look at trying to navigate the new normal, the new landscape. Rick, how would you go about it if you were dealt with these circumstances that all college football coaches across the country, in not being able to do it the quote-unquote traditional way? How does the prism, how does the mindset, the philosophy, the principles, the course of action, how does all of that have to change here from, well, let's say 6 months, 12 months ago and moving forward?
Well, you have to look and see what your strengths are as it pertains to recruiting, because everything about this game is about, you know, the Jimmies and the Joes. You can have all the best ideas. You can have some real nuance, whether it be an RPO, whether it be a play action pass. Can't wait to run this play. It doesn't make a hill of beans if you don't have the guys to execute it relative to the competition you're playing. And it just doesn't matter. So name, image, and likeness is now a recruiting race. The transfer portal is now a recruiting race. Who's going to evaluate those players, and not just their physical traits, but also, you know, why are they in the transfer portal? What is it about their personality that made them want to leave? Was it just a bad situation? Is there something about the young man that maybe doesn't fit our program? All that homework has to be done, because you can't undo things. You know, football isn't so complicated. People are. And so everything has to be about the evaluation and then the mechanism that you have in place to attract these people that you have highlighted and outlined as the guys we need in this program, and how to attract them to come to Morgantown. That's at the end of the day, that's everything. And I mean, I was in the Clemson facility just this last week, and, you know, from graphics to, you know, the social media, all the different components and departments within just the football office that are out there to attract people to come to be a part of their program is so sophisticated and so light years ahead of where we were just 15 years ago. I can't even begin to tell you. So that's what Neil has to do. You have to build a mechanism to attract the best and brightest, and then you have to allow them to have a arena and an atmosphere, a culture when they get there that they can flourish in. Therein lies. So they're going to have, you know, name, image, and likeness. I would be leaning at how can we create it as a team kind of name, image, and likeness opportunity. That's not to keep my star quarterback, imagine Will Grier, back on campus. Mm. That's not to keep Will Grier from profiting as he may, you know, be have the opportunity to do so, but to create Will Grier an opportunity to also share with his teammates as a team building, because if it's good for the teammates, Will, it's going to even be better for you as you get ready for the next level. Those are the kind of things that I would be trying to build going forward. But it is a complicated situation, but I promise you, every coach looks at it through the recruiting prism.
Mm. A recruiting prism, an opportunity, a burden. How? What's the best way to go about it, Rick? Especially as it goes to NIL here. I mean, everybody's kind of go about it, I think, a little differently. And I'm curious as to, as you talk to all of these coaches and you hear what's going on, what's the best way?
Well, we've seen a few teams, you know, go at it as, okay, how are we going to allow the West Virginia brand to be coincide with the student athlete brand? Alabama's got a way to do that, to partner with its student athletes, to share its branding along with the student athlete, which means that Clemson's going to have to. Right now, there's a state law that keeps that from happening. By January 1, that state law will be gone because Clemson will not fall, you know, behind Alabama in recruiting. Right. They can't afford to. So that they'll figure out ways to do that. West Virginia would have to do the same thing, and Neil Brown can help lead that charge to create those kind of opportunities. Then you want to look and see, okay, Miami, like Florida State, like BYU, can you go get a benevolent booster that wants to augment everybody on the team that's a scholarship player? We saw the BYU case. They basically paid the tuition for every walk-on on the team. An energy bar or something like that ended up doing that. A health club at Miami paid everybody $500 a month to shout out positive thoughts on their social media, but just trying to get the Miami team a little extra cash in their pockets. Florida State's following suit with an NFT type of proposal, which if you ask me to explain, I can't. I just know it's extra scratch in everybody's pocket. So I think to keep up with the Joneses, that's going to happen. We're going to end up finding ways to augment, to create super scholarships, if you will. But the other thing that West Virginia, the complication for West Virginia is now, where's home? Is it a Big 12 that is now going to lose Oklahoma and Texas? Is it a Big 12, or is it? Are we making calls to see if there's another conference where we can identify as our home? Obviously, they sit in the footprint of the ACC. Is that an opportunity? There's a lot of complicated things going on right now in the world of college football, in particular for those eight teams kind of left behind by Oklahoma and Texas.
Rick Neuheisel is with us. For the time being, Big 12 is going to be the Big 12 until further notice. So, Rick, that's another thing that I guess Neil Brown has to kind of rein everybody in on and keep everybody's focus, on the task at hand. When you talk to Neil and you discussed earlier how, you know, when you first met him, the impression that he made upon you and a lot of the things that he's clearly done to get the program to this point, does he remind you of anybody, or do you see him on a track that others have been on? Because I've heard all different kind of analogies and comparisons to what Neil is doing and who he is and where he's going with things. What's your take?
Gosh, that's a great question. He was younger than I thought he would be, you know, because I hadn't seen a lot of Troy games on television, whether I was working or what had happened. But he was younger than I thought, and I just thought his personality was one of those that, this is a guy's guy. This is one of those guys that can walk in any room, command the room. He can command a living room, which is the most important skill a coach has to have in terms of securing young people and their commitment to a program and commitment to an ideal. Thinking back, who he would remind me of, there's so many youngsters in the business right now, and I'm saying youngsters kind of laughing to myself because it wasn't so long ago that everybody looked at me as a youngster. This 33-year-old guy who was getting a job at Colorado as a head coach, now I'm a broke down fired football coach. So I guess he reminds me of a guy who's on the right track. He reminds me of a guy that's got a great opportunity. He's in a place that is passionate for college football. And when you have a fan base that loves it and you have the resources to match those expectations, then great things can happen. And I think that's exactly what will be the case for Neil Brown.
And Rick, as far as the personnel, you mentioned Jared Daigie, a quarterback, Letty Brown, a running back. You mentioned the offensive and defensive lines. They seem to be positions that have all improved. If you compare them to this year versus last year, you could probably, I think, say assuredly and comfortably that there's been marked improvement, and that includes the loss of a consensus All-American in Stills.
Right, that's exactly right. And listen, when he brought in a coaching staff, and this is when I go back to having the maturity to realize, while the instinct that I feel behind is going to ask me to make decisions quicker, whether it be about players, whether it be about coaches, I'm going to take my time and get the right guys here. And I think he's done that beautifully, and I think the coaching staff is certainly cohesive. And that is, I mean, priority one, because you have to have a ability to reach consensus in the staff room. And then to have those guys go out and basically perform what was just decided upon in that staff room. And you can't have those, you know, that are going to be dissenting. You can certainly have disagreement in that room, but once a consensus is met, everybody's united on that front. And that is, from outside looking in, is what's going on there in West Virginia. Now, I can tell you this, the West Virginia schedule this year is an interesting one and is a different approach to college football than some of the blue bloods in the business who don't take on a lot of challenge in the non-conference. When you open at Maryland and then you have Virginia Tech coming in to do battle, while it's great for the fans and everybody loves a big game, that's putting your neck on the line a little bit in the non-conference. And we as college football fans appreciate it and love it, but I don't think we give enough reward for putting yourself in that role. And I, as a former coach, it was always one of my biggest points of emphasis is that, hey, everybody should be doing this. And hopefully this announcement that we're going to hear from the ACC, the Big 10, and the Pac-12 will be that we'll get more kinds of games. But West Virginia is certainly showing the way.
Yeah, and they've, at least over the last few years, that's sort of been their operating procedure. Rick, final thing for you. You, I think, have a great deal of respect, clearly, for West Virginia fans, the state, the program, Neil Brown. That's evidence of what we've been talking about here for the last 15 minutes or so. And you work with Gabe Eichard. Obviously, he, a former Oklahoma guy, ingrained into the Big 12 Conference. You like West Virginia perhaps more this year in particular than maybe some of the pundits do, considering where WVU was slotted, you know, sixth in a lot of the polls. From what I understand, you have them a little bit higher and wouldn't be at all shocked if they finish much higher than what the consensus is, yes?
I think that their ability to play defense, you look at the numbers from a year ago, they were a very, very good defense. I think this Daigie kid is undervalued. I think as a 64% passer without really a marquee receiver. And I'm hopeful that, you know, they can get some guys that will remind us of the 2017 team that had nearly 3,000 yard receivers. Now, I know it's a different kind of offense, so we're not necessarily looking at those numbers, but the yards per catch thing can happen. To go along with Letty Brown, who I think is a premier running back, and I think the NFL will, you know, basically anoint him as one when we see where he comes off the board. I think this is a really good team. Now, they, especially if they navigate wins against both Maryland and Virginia Tech. If they come out of the non-conference 3-0, I think West Virginia is going to have a monster year, and I will not be surprised if Daigie is one of those guys we're talking about for postseason honors.
Wow. Why, I mean, that's some pretty lofty expectations, and that's heaping some praise. You call Daigie undervalued, and you say Brown is a premier running back. Why? Can you dive a little deeper into that? I know I told you this was going to be the last question, but I got to follow that one up, Rick.
You lied to me.
Yeah,
just go ahead and tell me you lied.
I did. Exactly. I just totally. I had to. I have no choice.
You have somebody long on the Mountaineers, and you're not going to let him get away. I understand. Listen, Lenny Brown averaged over 5 yards a carry last year, and he was the primary target. I mean, when you're looking at a receiving core that, you know, basically nobody was over 600 yards receiving, you're when you play West Virginia, you got to stop the run. You got to stop the run. And yet Letty Brown averaged over 5 yards a carry. I heard Neil Brown himself say the offensive line is finally to a place mm-hmm. where we can play. And when that happens, you have a way, you are basically telling the opponent defensive coordinator, you have got to stop the running game. You have got to stop it, which means you're going to give eight guys in the box. Eight guys in the box means that you're going to be playing single safety. Single safety means that an experienced quarterback, which you have the luxury of having in Daigie, Jared Daigie, he now gets the best, most advantageous coverage to throw into. It's two coverages you play out of single high. It's cover three, which is four men underneath, and you can pick that zone apart, and certainly Neil Brown will know how to do that. Or it's man with a single high safety. If you're playing man, now you can create formations, which Neil Brown knows how to do, that are both advantageous for run blocking, as well as getting open against man and creating picks for your receivers. You're going to see a lot of condensed formations in this particular version because they're in position to both run. It's kind of what Sean McVay does with the Rams. So I see all of a sudden open opportunities into the grass, and you can stay ahead of the chains. What will be the difference for West Virginia this year, mark my words, if they can have enough explosive plays where they don't have to, you know, have 11 pay drives to score touchdowns, if they can create more explosives, 20-yard plus gains that can, you know, a 60-yard touchdown, you know, on a game basis, you know, one big play like that, whether it's Letty Brown breaking one, whether it's a deep ball or a screen that breaks, but explosive plays are going to be the difference. And if they're in the top one, two, or three in explosive plays in the Big 12, then they will be playing in Arlington. That'd be my guess.
Well, Wolf, that's some really good stuff from Rick Neuheisel. Thanks so much to the coach for joining us. High on West Virginia. We had Phil Steele on last week. He was really high on WVU. I guess it's time to start believing in our own hype, right? Because there's been a lot of work that's been put in, and now that you start to see it materialize, and you just went through Rick's checklist there, Letty Brown, check, Jared Daigie, check, the offensive line, check, it is much improved, receivers got to catch some footballs. If you start adding all of this up, the equation looks, I think, very much in line with what Rick said is actually plausible or even possible.
You know what my favorite quote was by Rick? He said, when you got someone that's a little long in the mouth on West Virginia.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, man, I wish I used that. That was pretty good, you know, Danny. And I believe that Coach is right on with his thinking. I know he knows his stuff. I know he broke it down being your 60,000 foot high above looking at it. I mean, he did it like a head coach. And what's nice is when you're an offensive lineman, you think like an offensive lineman. Mm. And when you're a running back coach, you think like a running back coach. But when you're a head coach, Danny, it gives you the whole program. And what he talked about, I thought was really impressive. And I don't even know if he studies on the Mountaineers or what he does, but he knew exactly what's been going on with this program and with the players.
That, I think, goes back to the relationships that I think Neil Brown has across the country, mm-hmm. the impressions that he made all over college football before he was even, I think, on the radar here of anybody in Morgantown. So this has been a long time coming for Neil. This has been a long time coming for us, quite frankly. And now we're going to start to, I think, see the fruits of all of the labor and, you know, those mile markers on the climb. They're so important. And it's great to see that we're not the only ones that are in on it, that get it. Mm-hmm. The fan base clearly, but now once you start getting beyond the 1.8, once you start getting beyond Mountaineer Nation,
yeah.
that's when you can truly, I think, feel validated about the progress of what's going on. When Phil Steele says it last week, as he did on the podcast, and as Rick Neuheisel kind of just laid it out there quite plainly for us. So let's get into more of it and take it a step further as we continue our deep dive. He mentioned the offensive line, and it all starts there, right? The old cliche. It talks about Daigie, talks about Letty Brown, but you're clearly, Wolf, as dialed in as anybody is to what's been going on with the offensive line. Let's go inside out and start with Zach Frazier. We're going to hear from Zach in just a moment. He sits down with John Antonik. You've gone through a position change moving from guard to center, as he is doing right now. What goes into that? What has he got to do? What does it mean now that he's at that position?
Well, when I did that change, I was a senior, not a freshman.
Right.
So what I'm going to say about Zach Frazier, super football freak. Okay? And I mean that in the best of terms for a football player. What he did last year absolutely blows my mind. I've seen offensive tackles in the SEC that were ready to play, but I've never seen a center that moved to guard and then would move back again in the same game. Oklahoma State game, he did that. And he handled himself with great composure and great strength. Now, what's so impressive about him is the strength that he has at this young age. We have talked so many times about, well, we have to develop this offensive lineman. We have to get him that man strength. Whereas Zach Frazier, he's already got it.
Yeah, he came prepackaged, right?
Prepackaged. I love telling the story, Dan, and we told this on signing day, but I was watching his high school tape. He took a nose guard, threw him on his head. Okay, and then proceeded to go after the safety 10 yards down the field. In the film, the safety actually turns his back and starts running the other way. I mean, that's the type of football player that Zach Frazier is. I mean, it was remarkable, one of the best tapes I've seen, and he was a really good defensive player as well. Remember, Stanford offered him as a defensive lineman.
Yeah, you have to be anatomically gifted to play the position, or at least to be able to optimize your ability at the Power 5 level. He seems to be put together properly. You know, arms, shoulders, everything is constructed to his benefit. And then you combine that with really good technique. You combine that with the humility that a good old West Virginia boy can have, and then the strength, the grit, and the passion, the burning desire for playing for, you know, the old Golden Blue. It's all of those boxes are really getting checked. So let's now take it a step further with a guy like Frazier. What is his importance to this offensive line, particularly at center, and now taking it inside out, because we have all of those things that we just mentioned, how does that permeate, and what does that domino effect create for the rest of the offensive line inside out?
Well, if you've been listening to Coach Brown in his press conference announcements, he's been saying that Zach is the leader of this offensive line, which is a big statement for a guy that's a freshman. Again, how advanced is he? Not only physically, but mentally. Leadership, man. Mm. He's the leader. So that is just even more impressive to what he's got going on. But remember, who makes the calls for the offensive line, Danny?
It's going to be him. Okay,
it's going to be him. Who's the guy out there that's saying, listen, man, I'm from West Virginia. Okay, we're fighting for the Mountaineers. We're representing for the fans, the home state. It's going to be him. All those things are wrapped up into one.
Let me ask you about making those calls. For handing the keys to a freshman here and putting that responsibility on his shoulders, you'd say for most second-year guys, you'd be like, well, boy, this is going to be a process and there's going to be some growing pains. How, and until you line up against another opponent, I'm not sure you're going to necessarily be able to find this answer, but from what you've been able to see and, you know, going up in inter-squad stuff, is he going to be okay there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I'm going to take this back a year. I think that with COVID, it actually helped them because they did so much video work where they just studied video. Now, this guy not only gets in the gym and lifts all the time and does the extra there, but he gets in the video room and watches it, and he studies and studies and studies. Well, you know what? I mean, he is an intelligent young man with a really a lot of gifted amount of talent physically, but also gifted in the game of football. He knows the craft. And I'll tell you what, you want to talk about seeing an offensive lineman be a future possible head coach? He would be that type of guy that would be in that mold.
Mm, kind of a Russ Grimm kind of guy, right?
Just better looking.
Yeah, you think so? Yeah. Our Hog sat down with John Antonik, and let's, without any further ado, get you the one-on-one with the new West Virginia center and the pride of the state, Zach Frazier.
What do you like from what you see from the offense?
I think our offense is a lot more together and cohesive than before. Everyone's working really hard. As far as the offensive line goes, everyone up front is definitely playing very physical, and we're really getting after it. So,
biggest challenge for you moving from guard to center? I mean, you're now making all the calls. Everybody's kind of relying on you. Your eyes have to see what they see, right?
Right. The biggest challenge for me is, communicating, the calls throughout the whole line. I have to make sure, the whole line's on the same page. We're all, executing the same thing at the same time, because if, one person's off, then it's, a
it's
bad
a problem.
Play. It's a problem for sure.
Yeah, so. And, this defense isn't necessarily an easy defense to identify and ID, so that in itself's got to be a challenge.
Not at all. It seems like every day they come out in something different. I swear they never run the same thing twice.
Is that helpful for you, though, as a player that has to see all these different things?
Definitely. When we get into the season, it makes, playing certain teams a lot easier, because certain teams will only run certain fronts, you, know what you're getting. Versus our defense, you don't always know. You never know what you're getting. You never know what they're running. So.
Right. And I know he's lined up behind you, but what have you seen from Deggie this year that maybe you didn't see last year from him? Because all reports are he's really come along and had a really good camp.
Yeah. The biggest thing, I mean, I still go back and watch film and, see all the plays he makes. But I've seen him – the biggest improvement I've seen him make is moving around in the pocket – stepping up when pressure comes. You step up and still make great throws downfield, keeping his eyes downfield. So,
and it just seems too like he has a command of the offense. Do you feel that as a player?
Yeah, I feel like he has a command. He's comfortable back there. Everyone does what he says. We're all together on offense. It's working out pretty good right now.
And what about, the wide receivers, the running backs, all these things are starting to gel right now, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like we're playing pretty well as a unit right now. Everyone's, gelling together, like you said. I think we'll come together at the right time, right before our first game. So.
And what do you think, in your opinion, the offense, the next step the offense has to take to get to where you want it to be?
I think it's just constant improvement. I mean, we got us, where we're at's never good enough. We always have to improve on yesterday. So, just always, never settling, never being complacent.
And I know too, Neil mentioned in the first scrimmage, there was some procedure penalties, a lot of them maybe on some of the younger guys, the poise and all those things that you need. And I guess it's throughout all the different groups. What do you have to do to clean some of that stuff up?
Yeah, the procedure penalties is something that we'll definitely have to have cleaned up, by our first game. And it's something we work on every day. To do that, we just all have to be on the, listening to the calls together, making sure we're not, moving too early before the whistle. That's the biggest thing.
You think maybe it's got to slow down maybe a little bit, particularly for some of the younger guys?
Yeah, they just have to anticipate the snap count a little better. So that's about it.
Yeah, and that's obviously offensively. One last thing here. When you look at getting prepared for Maryland, right off the bat, you're facing a Power Five team. You're not just dipping your toes into it. How do you prepare yourself mentally, knowing that you're going right at it against a Big Ten team?
I would say just jumping right in. I prepare the same for it doesn't matter, who the opponent is. I would prepare the same for every single opponent. But I would say just, we definitely do have to start faster maybe than, last year we opened up with Eastern Kentucky.
Right.
But, starting out with Maryland, it'll definitely be a test, but, I'd like to see where we are, and I think we, you know, I'm just excited to see how our team will do.
Well, as a player, obviously you're working West Virginia stuff right now, and you're perfecting that and getting that down. But in the back of your mind, that's lurking that, hey, we got to get ready for a pretty good football team with some good players.
Right, right. I think Tuesday we start on Maryland. But, yeah, like you said, all we've done so far is West Virginia versus West Virginia. So, you know, that definitely is in the back of my mind. And I've been peeking at some film, can't lie. So
time's coming,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Zach.
Good stuff with John Antonik and Zach Frazier. We'll be back with you next week. Wolf, about time to start really diving into Maryland. I know you've already done that. You're working like weeks ahead. You've got basically the whole schedule already prepped, and you're just busting at the seams, literally and figuratively, ready to go here, my man. It's game week next week. Can you believe it?
No, it really is. And I, for one, like everybody else in Mountaineer Nation, am so excited, man. You got to get jacked, Danny. Get jacked, man. Fired up. 2021, Neil Brown has got this program going in the right direction. I don't know how successful it's going to be, but it's going to be better because everything in the program is better. And I'll tell you this, Mountaineer Nation, I'm going with Coach Bra.
It's the only way to go.
Yeah,
and
man.
It's upward. And I'm looking forward to renewing everything, getting back to College Park for the first time in a decade's time. And I love the fact that we're looking at a great opportunity here with two Power Fives in the first 3 weeks of the season to get off to the start that I think everybody is crossing their fingers, hoping that we could get to. But we won't get too far into that because, well, the preparations for the Terps are officially underway.
Yeah, let me just say this in closing, man. I've played there, Danny, and we're talking about the old Bird Stadium in Maryland. I've coached there, and I've broadcast from there. I don't like anything about that stadium. Let's go, Mountaineers, and let's go take it to the Terps.
For Dale Wolfley, Zach Frazier, and the coach, Rick Neuheisel, I'm Dan Zhang. Really, thanks for joining us on this edition of the Mountaineer Insider Podcast.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider here on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network. Like the podcast? Give us 5 stars or leave a review. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at WVUMSN or find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at WVUSports.com. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.